Now let's take just a very brief look at some of the bailout funds associated with the Eurozone crisis. This is just for general background. You can find a lot more detail by using Google and Wikipedia, but one early such fund was the European Financial Stability Facility, often referred to as simply EFSF. This fund lent to troubled states, with the emphasis there on the governments, not, say, to private banks, and it played a key role in the Irish, Greek, and Portuguese bailouts within the Eurozone. This is being replaced over time by the larger and more powerful European Stability Mechanism, which finally received enough ratifications in 2012, and this mechanism also lends to troubled states, namely the governments. It is based on policy conditionality. It has a potential power of up to 700 billion euros, of course that could later be expanded or perhaps contracted. A key question about the European Stability Mechanism is that some individuals have argued it should be leveraged, and in fact that the ESM should become more like a bank, with a kind of power to create credit out of nowhere. Yet some of the sponsoring nations, such as Germany, are extremely dubious about this possibility of leveraging the ESM above and beyond currently approved levels. All these and other details aside, what's really the economic issue behind these funds? I think it's this question. Must it be the case that bailout commitments to succeed should be unlimited and open-ended? What's striking about the EFSF and the ESM is precisely how clearly delineated they are in terms of how much firepower they have. And until the European Central Bank stepped forward and agreed that it would to some extent monetize national debts of troubled countries, what's striking is that the EFSF and the ESM were really quite unable to end the financial crises in the Eurozone. Now, the ECB guarantees are not exactly unlimited and open-ended, but the ECB has a kind of infinite and ongoing power to create money in the way that the EFSF and the ESM never did. So the lesson may be here that if you're going to run a bailout, it doesn't make sense to dole it out in clearly delineated and measured limited parts, but it may in fact be less risky and also cheaper in the longer run if your initial bailout commitments have at least some dimensions along which they are unlimited and open-ended. Of course, we still need to see how the current situation develops, but the key contrast here, I think, is between the European Central Banks and these other bailout mechanisms, and which of those are most likely to work.